Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by the full-service law firm of Odin, Feldman & Pittleman, located in Reston, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about our firm, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com or give us a call to schedule an appointment or meet one of our 60 attorneys at 703-218-2100. Also, I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, where I have articles, videos, and audio, including all of our prior radio shows, of interest on tax, estate planning, and business planning topics of interest. And lastly, of course, please dial in to bizjournals.com in the Washington version under BizBeat, where you can find my blog as well that talks about tax, estate planning, and business planning topics of interest. And tax has been of paramount interest to my clients and prospective clients over the last several weeks since the enactment of the American Taxpayer Relief Act of 2012 in January of this year. One of the provisions that's not even in that act is one that's garnering a tremendous amount of attention because of the increased tax rates. And that particular provision is one that was enacted all the way back in 2010, but didn't take effect until January the 1st. And I keep getting questions, so hopefully I'm going to give you some questions and answer them for you on the air in terms of what people are asking and what they want to know about this. And this deals with the net investment income tax, the 3.8% so-called Medicare surcharge, which has nothing to do with Medicare whatsoever, but it's a surcharge on net investment income if your income exceeds a certain level. So what is the net investment income tax? It's imposed under the Internal Revenue Code at a rate of 3.8% to certain net investment income of individuals, estates, and trusts that are above the statutory thresholds. When does the net investment income tax affect? Well, it's in effect now, January 1st, 2013, and it affects income tax returns of individuals and estates and trusts for their first year beginning on or after January the 1st of this year. Who owes it? What individuals are subject to the net investment income tax? Well, if you're a married filing jointly taxpayer, you have to have adjusted gross income modified in certain ways over $250,000 to be subject to this tax. If you're single or a head of household, then your threshold is $200,000. You need to be aware of these threshold items, and you need to also be aware that these items are not indexed for inflation like the tax brackets are. If you are exempt from Medicare tax, you still may be subject to the net investment income tax if you've got net investment income. So it really has nothing to do with Medicare. And if your modified adjusted gross income is above those threshold levels. By the way, if you're a trust or an estate, the threshold is not $200,000 or $250,000. It's $11,950 approximately for 2013. Non-resident aliens, people who are in the United States but not resident in the United States and not citizens of the United States, are not subject to the net investment income tax. If an NRA, non-resident alien, is married to a U.S. citizen or resident and has made or is planning to make a special election to be treated as a resident alien and therefore filing jointly with the spouse, the proposed regulations provide that these couples have special rules and a special election needs to be made for the net investment income tax. What trusts are not subject to the net investment income tax? Okay, well, that's a good question. Trusts that are exempt from income taxes, like charitable trusts or qualified retirement plan trusts or charitable remainder trusts, are exempt from the net investment income tax. Also, a trust in which all of its unexpired interests are devoted to charitable purposes are exempt from this trust, and grantor trusts. So if we've set up a trust for the benefit of our kids, maybe it's a dynasty trust, maybe it's not, But it's a grantor trust, meaning that all the income is taxable to me as the grantor, or to you as the grantor. Then the trust itself will not be subject to the net investment income tax. Trusts that are not classified as trusts also escape the net investment income tax. So what is net investment income? Well, it includes but isn't limited to interest and dividends, capital gains, rents, and royalty income. It also includes non-qualified annuities and income from businesses involved in trading financial instruments and commodities. It also includes businesses that are considered quote-unquote passive activities to the taxpayer under the passive activity loss rules. If you are a passive investor in a passive activity and you've got income from that activity, it might even be a trade or business, that income is subject to the net investment income tax. On the other hand, if you are materially participating in a trade or business, then the income is not subject to the net investment income tax. We'll get into that in a second. Hey, what are some of the common types of income that are not net investment income? Well, very clearly, wages are not net investment income. Unemployment compensation, operating income from a non-passive business, Social Security benefits also escape this NII tax, alimony, tax-exempt interest, and self-employment income escapes this net investment income tax. What gains are included in net investment income? Well, to the extent the gains are not otherwise offset by capital losses, and you've got capital gains, then the following are the common types of gains that are going to be included in net investment income. Gains from the sale of publicly traded stock that you might own in your portfolio, or bonds, or mutual funds. Capital gain distributions from mutual funds are considered net investment income. And gain from the sale of investment real estate, including the sale of a second home that's not your primary residence. Gains from the sale of interests in partnerships and S corporations also will be subject to the net investment income tax if you are a passive investor in those businesses. Conversely, if you own all the stock of your government contracting business and you sell that stock to a third-party buyer and you're materially participating in that business, you're the CEO of the business, actively involved day-to-day in all of the activities of the business, then you are a material participant in that business. So the gain from the sale of your stock in that business will not be subject to the net investment income tax. It might kick you into a higher bracket, and you might have to pay a 20% capital gains tax instead of a 15% bracket tax, but you won't be subject to the 3.8% net investment income tax on those facts. Next question. Does this tax apply to the gain on the sale of my house, my personal residence? Well, it won't apply to any gain that is excluded from gross income for regular income tax purposes. And of course, we have this exclusion for our primary residence, $500,000 for married couples, $250,000 for single individuals, that we can exclude that amount of gain on the sale of our principal residence. So let's say I've got a single person who earns about $210,000 a year in wages, and she sells her principal residence that she's owned and resided in for the last 10 years. She sells it for $420,000 when she only paid $200,000. So she has a gain on the sale of $220,000. She's allowed to exclude up to $250,000 of gain on the sale. Because the gain is excluded for regular income tax purposes, it's also excluded for purposes of determining the net investment income tax. So in this example, the net investment income tax would not apply. If the gain were higher than $250,000, say it was $300,000, and she can only exclude $250,000 because of the exclusion, $50,000 will be subject to regular income tax, and $50,000 will be subject to the net investment income tax because her wages and her adjusted gross income exceed the $200,000 threshold. It sounds complicated. It is complicated. Here's another example. Let's say B and C, married filing jointly couple, sell their principal residence that they've owned and lived in for the last 10 years for $1.3 million. They paid $700,000 for the house, so their gain on the sale would normally be calculated as $600,000. The recognized gain is only $100,000 because they get, as a married couple, a $500,000 exclusion. So the gain was $600,000 minus the $500,000 exclusion leaves $100,000 that's taxable. They also have $125,000 of other net investment income, let's say from dividends and interest, rents and royalties, which brings their total net investment income from $125,000 to $225,000. I only have to add in that excess $100,000 gain on the sale of the principal residence to the other net investment income to figure out what my net investment income is subject to tax. Their modified adjusted gross income is $300,000. If that's the case, it exceeds the threshold amount by $50,000, the threshold being $250,000. They're subject to net investment income tax on the lesser of their net investment income, $225,000, or $50,000, which is the amount over the threshold. So we're going to take $50,000 times 3.8%. They've got to pay an extra $1,900 as a result of the sale of their principal residence and their other net investment income. If you've got questions on this very complicated area of law, give us a call at 703-218. My direct dial is 2177. The firm's number is 2100, 218-2100. Or visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.